PDP Radio.
Yo, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up? How's everybody out there doing today, man? You on another edition of Soar With Me. Today I got former Red Raider, Brenton Nickerson. He's also my former roommate, too, as well. We go way B-A-C-K. But before we get started, let me hit you with something. Just a good feeling. You know what I'm talking about. Something cool. Like we always do at this time, that was Kanye West, one of my favorite instrumentals, man. I played that because, man, back in the day, before Texas Tech really got started booming, before Patrick Mahomes, before, let's say, Michael Crabtree, before few Texas Tech greats, man, Brenton Nickerson, class of 2005, Graham Harrell was the quarterback at that time. Mike Leach was just now starting to boom. 2005, actually, Coach Leach said, end quote, the best class overall academically and also athletically was the best class up until that time that he was being a part of. And right here on the line, man, former cornerback, Texas Tech Red Raiders, Brenton Nickerson. What's going on, bro?
Hey, how's it going, man? Good morning,
man.
Appreciate you having me on.
Good, yes, sir, man. How's the family doing? Everything? How's everybody doing down there in the D town?
Oh man, family's doing great. I have a 6-year-old son. He just graduated kindergarten. Lovely wife. My twin brother's doing great. He's a principal. One of my youngest brothers is an engineer major at UNT, and he'll graduate next year. And then my youngest brother will graduate class of 2020 this year, and he committed to play football and continue his academic career at Air Force. So he'll leave in July. Mom's doing great. Dad's doing great.
Oh, wow. Man, that's what's up, man. So, you guys come from a prominent family. You guys got your head on straight, man. Let's give a huge shout-out to Mr. Trent, your twin brother, man. How's he doing, and how is he enjoying? I know he went to school to be a principal, and that's one thing about that I can say about all of us that kind of grew up together. When I say grew up, I mean because that's what we did here in Lubbock at Tech, man. We grew up. We was boys and became amongst men. And you guys, you wanted to be a coach. Trent wanted to be a principal, and now you guys are both living out your dreams, man. So how is Trent handling being a principal?
He's loving it. He is loving it. You know how Trent is. He's high energy, up tempo, all about the kids, and that's exactly what he brings to his school. He does a great job. I'm proud of him, man. I look up to him. You know, the only time we were separated was our freshman year in college. Well, we talked every single day, and he always had a vision going in, and he knew exactly what he wanted to do, and he's living it out right now.
I remember that silver phone he had. I remember he would always say, dog. He texted me that one time, and I was like,
silver phone.
I can just hear him.
Man, you know, I still have that phone.
It was like a flip phone.
It is. And it twisted at the top. I still have that phone. Kids today would not know what to do.
They would, man. The stuff that we thought was cool back then. Yeah, man. So let's go ahead and give some people, man, some chronological events. I think the first time I met you was in January, I believe, in 2004, maybe. I know we was on a recruiting trip. It was you, LaShawn Bation, Victor Hunter, Ryan Hale, just to name a few. We all ended up committing to Tech. So did you always want to be a Red Raider growing up?
Growing up, and it's funny, I knew that I loved playing football, but I always wanted to be a basketball player. Growing up, I thought I was going to be in the NBA. That's just what I was going to do. That was my favorite sport growing up. But, you know, as I started playing middle school, high school, I got moved to corner, and then I just embraced that position my junior year in high school. And I just embraced that position, and I didn't really know a lot about college football. I was just playing football because it was something that I was good at. I was good at doing it. So I was just playing a game of football, and my going into my junior year, during that spring, there was a guy at our football practice, and I made a hit on the sideline, and it was right in front of him. And so we talked after practice, and he told me that he was offering me a football scholarship to play at Notre Dame.
And
honestly, I didn't know what Notre Dame was. I didn't really play college football sports games.
The video games?
I only played NFL, the video games, yeah. So I didn't really know a lot about college. I just knew that you could go. I didn't even know you could get a scholarship to go play football in college when I was in high school. So to answer your question, did I always want to play football growing up? I did, but I didn't know to what extent.
So you were just wanting to bypass the college and want to go straight to the NFL.
NBA.
The NBA. Speaking of the NBA, man, The Last Dance. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I did, man. Michael Jordan. I got a little emotional watching him. I just closed my eyes and I could see my young self putting on that Michael Jordan jersey and running out my room. Of our apartment as they were announcing it with my hands raised with my fake Jordans on. Oh, man. It took me back.
Now, Brent Nickerson. That's what's up, man. I got a chance to watch it, man. Man, but what people are talking about now, the audio has came out. Michael Jordan did not want Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that. I didn't know that they were in conflict. I knew that they were great competitors, but at that time I was so young, I didn't know that they didn't like each other. And after watching the documentary, I can understand why. Michael Jordan, he takes a lot of things personal, and when Detroit walked off the court without saying congratulations and doing the things that they did,
shake hands
and affected him.
Yeah, man, and he, but like on the outside looking in, you know how we are now nowadays. Everybody shakes hands no matter how bad you get beat. You show good sportsmanship, but back in those days, you could they actually showed a clip. Who did the Pistons used to get beat by? The Celtics. You know what I'm saying? So when the Pistons finally beat the Celtics just walked off the court. You know what I'm saying? And did not shake any hands. So whenever the Bulls finally got there and then the Pistons finally got whooped by the Bulls, you know, that's whenever Michael Jordan was like, he didn't shake my hand.
Right. But I tell you what stood out to me. On the last episode, after the Bulls beat Utah, there's a clip where the Bulls are celebrating and they're walking on the bus. They show a clip of Karl Malone walking onto the Bulls buses and after they lost to congratulate him. Man, that just spoke volumes to me of the guy that Karl Malone was. How, in the moment of defeat, he decided to go in and shake guys' hands, and he understood how big that moment was.
Right, man, and that just shows who you are as a person. You know, which at the end of the day, that's what's going to take you farther. And I think prior, like, to the Pistons and to the Celtics, man, it was just, you know, basketball, it was popular, but it wasn't the main popular sports yet. And that's where Michael Jordan ended up taking it, you know. So, with all of that stuff, you know, nowadays people calling Michael Jordan a liar from The Last Dance. But me, I see it. This is what me, you want to know what, when I saw Michael Jordan say that, you want to know what I really thought of?
What's that?
When you remember when Coach Leach teamed us up with the receivers whenever we would travel, right? He was like, I'm the DBs and the receivers will be rooming up. And I ended up being with Michael Crabtree, and Michael Crabtree was like, nah.
Oh, I did not know that.
I remember there was a bunch of, and that reminds me, you know what I'm saying, because there was a bunch of beef on the team, like, for our 2018. And then you think about, like, the beef the Chicago Bulls went through, and then, you know, whenever you have great players on the team, it's always going to be drama there. And with that being said, like, was there any beef on the that you have to go through with coaching with your high school players that at MacArthur?
Man, not at all. I graduated from MacArthur High School. So I was at MacArthur for 7 years. The kids are great. The principals and the admin are great. All the teachers are phenomenal. They embraced everything, and I'm talking about the students and the athletes. They embraced everything that we try to establish and teach them. And there was never a time. Of course, you know, you get into a game and somebody does something negative or has a negative play. I was never a guy to jump down a guy's neck or try to embarrass them. My job as a coach is to guide the students and the kids in a positive direction. And my way of doing that isn't to break them down verbally. It's to build them up. And so just taking that approach and trying to build and foster those positive relationships, it never led to any conflict.
Hey, yo, my bad, Mr. Nicholson. Coach, you still there, man? My phone, my call.
I'm still
right
here. I'm still
okay,
here.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. You said you was there for 7 years, and you guys have pretty good camaraderie there?
Oh, great camaraderie. Our head coach at the time when I was there, excellent guy. He's actually one of my mentors. My coach, he was my high school coach. Very great friend of mine. He did a good job of giving us a vision and investing in the kids. And we had a great time while we were there.
And that's what's up, man. What? So, like, being a player, playing here at Texas Tech, and then transitioning into coaching, what's the pros and cons of being a coach? Like, do you just want to – would you want to, like – man, move out the way. Let me show you this back pedal.
Oh, you know, after we graduated – and I say I'm talking about my brother – and myself, after we graduated from college, my brother knew exactly what he wanted to do. He went straight in and he started coaching first, and then he got into admin. I, on the other hand, went to business school, and so I did 2 years of sales. I never thought that I would be a coach, and I didn't really have a reason. I just didn't think I didn't think I would be a high school coach. I coached in the Pop Warner League with my little brother, who's a graduating senior now. But I didn't think I would be a high school teacher. But my mom is a teacher as well, and they kind of pulled me in that direction. So coaching is different than playing, because you can be a great player and you can do everything right. You can put yourself in position to make plays. But now as a coach, you have to give your kids those tools and those techniques and allow them to go put themselves in a great situation to go make a play. So it's just about building the kids up, giving the kids opportunities to grow, empowering them, and ultimately it's all a mindset. What kind of mindset are you going to have when you step across those white lines, when you step on that court, or when you step on the track?
You gotta have your mind right. Like what our former strength coach used to say, TTU.
Full throttle.
Full throttle. Let's get in and get with it, man. Hey, what was your favorite game that you played in as a Red Raider?
Oh man, of course the Texas game that we played in was my favorite game.
Oh man, that was a great game.
But through my time at Tech, I had a heart condition. And at one point, the doctors told me that I would never be able to play competitive sports again. And it's a long story, but the game that I was able to come back, we were playing at Rice, and we were playing.
Oh, I remember that game.
That was my first game back, my first opportunity to get back on the football field, and I was just feeling so much emotion. We were actually playing against my former high school head football coach, Dave Beatty. So just him being there at the game, I know he's on the other sidelines, but just him being there and just having another opportunity after being told that you could never compete in competitive sports again, it's something I'll remember forever. And just walking out there on the field and looking around as high as you can see and look and mm-hmm. just hear people cheering and people jumping up and down and just embracing that
the little
moment.
Things.
The little things.
Man, and let's go back to that moment, if you don't mind, because, you know, I was your roommate at that time, and I remember we all worked out together. We ate together.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, we lived
mm-hmm.
together. And then
mm-hmm.
one day we reported to show up and get our physicals and stuff, and that's when you found out. And I remember, how it affected you. Like, not so
mm-hmm.
much physically, but, like, mentally, you know, and
all mental.
And you bounce back.
All mental. I talk on that, but it was a stepping stone. It was a stepping stone to a cause. But, you know, going through that time, I that summer, we had some time off when I came home, and I went to see my doctor, my personal doctor, and he told me that my heart was beating fast. And then the whole time I had been working out, I always felt lightheaded and dizzy and like I was going to pass out. And
mm-hmm.
one thing I tell my kids now is, you know your body better than anybody else does. So if you're hurt or if you're not feeling good, you need to let somebody know, because only you can control that. Don't think that anybody's going to think any less of you because you decide that you're not feeling good. You need to let people know what's going on. But going back at the time, I went to see my doctor, and he told me that he was admitting me that day into the hospital. And I'll make a long story short, but what happened is they told me that I had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, where it's an enlarged heart. And at any point, they told me that my heart could burst and I could go to cardiac arrest and I could die. And so I ended up going to the Mayo Clinic. They sent me to the Mayo Clinic, and they ran all the tests. I had to do EKGs, and I had the leads on my chest, and I was running on the treadmill, kind of like that old Gatorade commercial. And
you know, like 50 Cent?
Yeah, in the club video. Yeah, just like that. But so this had been going on over a month. Of everything going on, you know, I was still taking summer classes. I had to walk around with a heart monitor on. I wasn't able to go to summer workouts, and I was in class, and that heart monitor, it would beep. It's like every 30 seconds it would beep because it was monitored to my heart. And I just remember having to walk around with a fanny pack on with that heart monitor, and at the time it was a big heart monitor. You couldn't hide it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to put it in the heart monitor in the fanny pack, and the leads were going up to my chest. And so I would just sit in the back of the classrooms and the lecture halls just in case I needed to get up, because the heart monitor would go off every so often. But so I go through all of that, but I'm in the doctor's office, and the doctor tells me that whoever's heart is on the tape that they were sent does have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, but the heart on the tape was not mine.
Wow.
And at the time, I didn't understand it, because I was still feeling the same symptoms every day.
Mm-hmm.
My resting heart rate, they told me, was 77, but my heart rate would get up, man, 138, 150. I could see my heart beating out of my chest. I was getting lightheaded and dizzy, like I was going to throw up, like I was going to faint, like I was going to pass out. But
that was in 300.
Yeah. I'd attribute it to that, too. So I was still feeling those symptoms, And I just couldn't understand it. And you know, our freshman year in college, our position coach, Dave Brown, passed away with the same condition. And he was one of the most fit coaches that we had on the team and on our staff. But so it was just, and like I said, it was just a mindset of y'all are telling me, the doctors are telling me that I'm going to have this heart condition, and then somebody else, another doctor, comes back and tells me that I don't have the condition, but I'm still feeling the same symptoms. And that's going back to the Rice game. I was still feeling those same symptoms. So from that point on, every game that I played in the back of my mind, I didn't know if it was going to be my last game, or I didn't know if it was going to be my last play, or I didn't know if it was going to be my last day, because I love the game. And you know, I got past it. You know, I still feel those same symptoms. Like, even today, if I work out, I feel those same symptoms. But I'm okay. I just – my heart is enlarged. It's called they were saying athletic heart. So they told me that I can't drink Red Bulls, I can't drink coffee, I can't do anything that will stimulate my heart too bad. But, you know, all glory to God. You know, I was able to go through that and use it positively. Not just for myself, but for the people around me. You know, we all have a path. And it was just part of my path. You still with me?
Brent, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my headset was messing up. But, yeah, I was just talking about how I just seen LeRon the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, LeRon. Yeah, I was me and the family was going for a walk, and we ended up running into him, and he was showing. I was like, who are these people getting some work in? Looked like they was working the, you know, the press and release.
Right.
And I was like,
is that you when he do start smiling? Yeah, boy,
yeah,
big dreams.
Yeah, and his son didn't know I was Petey Pete, man, and it was was cool.
We caught up a couple years back. He was recruiting down in this area. So we hung out for a few hours.
He's in Kansas now.
Yes, he's in Kansas.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. It seems like everybody got into coaching, man. So now you about to let the people know where your new coaching job and what position you're going to be coaching.
So I'll be coaching at Flower Mound High School. And the position that I'll be coaching are the DBs, and then I'll also be doing track. And as far as teaching, I'll be teaching physical education. So you remember when we used to go out to the lake and the Raiders pass and catch fish? Now I get to put that to some use.
Hey, don't act like you was catching no fish. You was scared out there, too. We had to talk. LeSean finally caught him a little baby fish.
It caught him something, yeah. He had to throw it back.
Yeah, like, what are we going to do with that? Man,
it's not
that's
enough.
Crazy, man. So what's your overall goal? Where would you like to – what would be your ultimate coaching place that you would love to coach at?
My ultimate goal, what I want to do is I want to become a head football coach. I'm an aspiring head football coach. But I wouldn't really say that there was a location that would be a dream, you know, just anywhere, just to have the opportunity to be a head coach would be great for me. Would be a good opportunity. You know, I have a 6-year-old son, as I mentioned. So we live in Coppell right now, and he has a great group of friends. There's a great community out here.
And you say
wherever,
he's 6, right?
He's 6. Yeah, so anything could happen. But, you know, anywhere that I end up being the head coach at, it would be a dream for me. And that's just another goal, another aspiration of mine.
Aspiration, huh?
And,
you know, that's how he's You know, you know how we used to be clowning all the time. It's like, oh, so you smart
all,
now, huh?
All the time. Are you using these big words, huh?
No, that's what's up, man. You know, my oldest is 6'2". We actually went down there to Dallas, man. We ran the table down here and won the Super Bowl. We ended up, we won the Super Bowl,
man,
here.
Congratulations.
We about to get some Super Bowl rings. You know what I'm saying? We're finally about to get the rings, man. But we went down to Dallas and got thumped. So, now I'm back to the
learning.
Yeah, man. Because it was a coaching change that went on, but I ain't gonna get into that. You know what I'm saying? But this year things gonna be different, man. Let's talk about MacArthur. Like, is there one game that stands out to you whenever you was coaching that really made you realize, you know what, I'm doing my job right? It could be a win or a loss that you could just see the team just come together, and it was just one time that you felt like, you know what, I'm doing the right thing. I feel like I'm doing God's purpose.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a game, man. It's just every day. The reason why I got into coaching and teaching was so I could be a positive impact on the kids in my community and where I grew up. Just try to be a positive role model, man. There's so much negativity that these kids see online and on Twitter and Facebook and whatever social networking site that they use. I just want to be a beacon of light in the community that I grew up in. So as far as a game or something that I'm doing my job, it's every day when I get to walk up and down the hallways and be in the classroom when I have a kid that doesn't necessarily play sports, walk up to me and we just have a conversation and we'll just talk. And they'll talk to me about their day and what's going on at home. And I get to put my arm around them, give them a handshake, or give them a five, or just any kind of social interaction on a day-to-day basis that I get to have with those students. Just lets me know that, you know, I'm serving my purpose.
Oh, man, that's
but
dope.
I will say, though, we did have a game. You're talking about games where we were down, and our quarterback threw like a 50-yard bomb at the end of the game, and our wide receiver caught the ball in the end zone, and we ended up winning the game as the time expired. And the whole bench clean. That's a game that stands out. But I just love what I do. I get to embrace the kids. The kids are embracing me. It's being a part of something bigger than myself.
Okay, that's what's up, man. As you can hear, lady right there, we got 90 seconds left on the air. If there's one quote that you want to leave the youth with right now, because I got a lot of young athletes that listen to the show. There's one quote that helped you keep your mind focused after, like, why? Because you know how hard it is after sports when you got a job. So what's something that helps you keep you focused, like just as a husband, as a coach, but most importantly, as a person?
You have to be able to adapt and adjust to your situations, because you can have a plan and you wake up and something happens and you have to adapt to the situation and adjust, kind of like this COVID. Everybody right now is having to adapt and adjust to this situation. You know, you could be driving your car to work and there's a wreck on the road. Are you going to stay in traffic or are you going to make a right turn to avoid the traffic? I remember, and I don't know if we have enough time, but we were in college walking to campus, and it was me and my it was myself and three other roommates. It was KJ. We were all roommates, and we were walking to campus.
Oh, yeah, I remember KJ.
And a dog started chasing us as we were walking down the street. At the time, you could walk from Raiders Pass to the campus, so we all started running. We all knew we were going to campus, right? That was our path. But I ended up jumping on the car. So my path was to be patient and wait. Man, my path was to be patient and wait. And we all scattered. One of our friends, one of the roommates went home. He never made it to campus. Another roommate ended up being the first one on campus. The other roommate was a guy getting chased by the dog. And I don't know where he went. He ended up getting away. But But, you know, all four of our paths were to go to Kansas. One person arrived early. Somebody had to wait. Mm-hmm. Somebody didn't even get there. And then.
But that's crazy because, you know, that's how life works. You know what I'm saying? Especially on that level, man. I still remember Dennis Simmons. You know, he's the OU right now, coaching the receivers.
Right.
I remember him telling us, look to your right, look to your left, because that person probably is not going to be here when you graduate.
Right.
And
right.
And that's like the most truest statement that I've ever heard. And I was talking to you, know, before we got on the air, I was looking at our 2005 recruiting class, and I'm looking there, I'm like, God, dog. You know what I'm saying? I didn't play my fifth year there.
I remember that year. We had a lot of guys come in that year, a lot, and maybe 6 to 7 guys stayed. I want to say it was around 25 guys that came in.
Yeah, like, shoot, I almost made it. You know, I still remember my last day.
but that's again, your path is different, and your path was different than everybody else. Man, you're doing a phenomenal job at what you're doing right now, and you're doing what you love.
Right.
You're doing what you love.
Right. And who was to say, you know, because I went to school to be a cop. You know, I went to the FBI. I don't know if you remember because I was living in Raiders Pass. You know, I went to the FBI down in Oklahoma. I was serious about that. And that's something I tell my wife sometimes now. I'm like, man, you see about this police brutality and stuff, and sometimes these cops are young. You know, prior, but not the one from the last situation here. And I was like, man, what if I became a cop and I shot somebody that's unarmed? You know what I'm saying? Not knowing. You know, and then being a black guy. You know what I'm saying? So, I think about that. But what made me deter away from being a cop is whenever I was in Dallas, you know, and I got beat up by a cop who was a white, who was a black cop, you know, and that's
man, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I talked to LaShawn. You know, LaShawn was laughing. You know what I'm saying? You know me.
Man,
I'm going to sue him. Yeah. Yeah, man, which I didn't. And but I was like, if I'm not going to be a cop, then I know I'm going to be an entertainer. And that's what I ended up choosing to do. And so, you know, everything happens for a reason, man. Well, hey, let the people know where they can follow you at, B-Nick.
Man, you can follow me on Twitter at _B-Nick. That's the social platform that I use the most. So go on there, find me. You get to see what we're doing. We get to go back and start up at Flower Mound on June 8th. So we're about to get rolling.
About to get rolling. What is y'all mascot at Flower Mound?
Jaguar.
The Jaguars. That's what's up, man. Well, I want to commend you. You're doing a wonderful job. Shout out to the whole Nickerson family. Shout out to Trent, and shout out to your younger brother too as well, that's going to the Air Force. And to him, salute. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for standing up for our country, and also going to go ahead and play football too as well. And hey, do what you love and love what you do. Life's about making your dreams come true. You have a wonderful day, sir.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on again.
Yeah, my pleasure. And go to Spotify, Pete Radio. It will be on there within the next hour. So just whenever you're out and about, man, you in the car, you can just go ahead and put on PDP Radio and just let it ride.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Already. God bless. Have a good one, bro.
PDP. My man. Hey, have a good one.
We'll be out here all day.
We will. All day, man. The people don't know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't start playing that mixtape.
I was going to get into it. I know. Hey, we was on to something, boy.
Man, we were. Oh, man, we were. I have to go find that.
I said, man, you remind me of somebody, man.
He said, like, yeah, people did used to call me Silk.
Oh, man. Yes, man. They used to do liquor like somebody pulled a picture of me and Silk.
Yeah, yeah, Silk the Sugar.
Big Dick through the dough. I'm the dude with the twin.
Man.
Hey, you need to, when you show up to Flower Mound, man, you need to have everybody freestyle for you.
Everybody. Everybody. It's a hidden talent somewhere.
Well, all right, man. All right, I'm behind you, bro. You have a good one.
All right, you too.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right, bye.
Already. Yeah, man. Shout out to Brett Nickerson right there, former Red Raider. Ended up coaching at his alma mater, Mac Arthur, down there in Dallas, Texas. Now he's going to Flower Mound Jaguars, man, doing big things, man. He had his head on straight, didn't get in no trouble in Lubbock, Texas. Did his thing. Him and his twin brother, Trent Nickerson, now his younger brother, is going to the Air Force too as well. Great family. Met his mom. They used to come there and clean up the apartment for us. Woo! It was Gucci. Means G-double-O-D good. But that's another episode of Soar With Me on Soar and PDP Radio. Do what you love and love what you do. Peace, and I'm out.